We welcome you to the house of the Lord. If you will, just open your heart just a few more minutes and let me share the word this morning. God is awesome. He is powerful, and he breaks every chain.
Yes, he breaks every chain.
He breaks every chain. That's, praise team did awesome. Let's give them a shout. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. The front of the bulletin says, we used to have children's church, but school starts tomorrow. But if Julie needs to take some of them out, if they get restless, it'll be fine. But I wanted them to hear this word, if they could. Hebrews 3, 7 through 13 says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, somebody say today.
Today.
If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So today, if you hear his voice through this word, don't harden your heart to the voice of the Lord, because he talks through his people. He talks through us. So if someone's speaking in our lives, then we can take it and we can meditate on it and we can say, God, do I have a willing heart? That's what I want to talk about this morning. Do we have a willing heart? And if we don't, for God to give us one. Because he said he would give us a new heart. And he would cause us to walk in his statutes. He would cause us to. So if we don't have a willing heart, willing to come to church, willing to pray, willing to witness, willing to lift our hands and praise God, willing to be obedient, willing to give. You know, the Bible says let them give as they purpose in their heart, not grudgingly. I remember a time in my life where it was kind of grudging me to give. And I would pray about it, and I said, God, I don't really want to give my tithes. And I said, but I want you to give me a willing heart. And I heard a preacher one time, this was before I became a pastor, and he or she, I can't remember who it was, said, if you don't give willingly, then don't give. I said, well, that's my way out. I'm just saying. I said, okay, God, I don't want to give, so make me willing, and then I'll start giving again. So it didn't take him long to work on me at these altars, you know, and he wanted it all. Amen? And when I gave it all, what was all to me, then there was no problem to give anymore, you know. After you give God the precious, it's no problem to give him anything else. And there's times in our lives where he'll ask for the precious. But if we'll go ahead and give that, and that could be more than money, then it's nothing when he requires something from us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Just want to welcome you again, and thank you for being here. I want to not read these, just call them out, because I've got some scriptures I do want to read. Talking about a willing heart, my first scripture is Exodus 25, verse 2. And I'm just going to read about five scriptures, and then we're going to go to Genesis. So if you want to write them down, Exodus 25, verse 2, he told the people to give an offering willingly for the temple, for the sanctuary, so he could come dwell with them. He said, tell the people to come and bring an offering willingly, because I want to build a sanctuary. How many know it costs money to build things for God? It costs money to buy buildings and get everything you need. We're looking at a sound system now. It's probably be about $10,000 when we're through everything we need. But we have it already. God already supplied it in one offering. The anointing hit. So I'm not asking for money. We already gave. So this isn't about you giving anymore today. Amen. This is about having a willing heart. So Exodus 35:5, he says, again, he says, whosoever has a willing heart, let him give an offering to the Lord. And if you say, well, I'm not willing, well, that's when you say, God, I'm not willing, but I'm asking you to make me willing. I'm asking you to put willingness in me. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 says, the willing and obedient eat the good of the land. So God's just not trying to get something from us. He's trying to get something to us. The willing and obedient eat the good of the land. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew 26:14. I was thinking about Montana because Julie opened up about an unwilling heart Thursday in the, we had a meeting with the praise team, and I've had two people come and say they repented to different ones in the church because they weren't willing to submit to their ministry, and they saw that about themselves. So repentance has already came, and that's what we do here is God leads us and he shows us what to pray. And if you're a member of the church and you don't know what the prayer target is, it's back there on the calendar, and it's talking about for God to give us a willing heart this week. Amen. So it usually takes us a little bit to get that full breakthrough. So we may teach it a few times during the week, and then Sunday God bring that word, and then he really wants to change our lives, which he's already done at the altar. I mean, he's already been doing that this morning. So Montana put this, she was at that meeting, and she put Matthew 26:14 says, my spirit's willing, but my flesh is weak. So she said, God, help my flesh to be willing, because the Bible says that our flesh is not willing. So I can't say, oh, I'm willing for everything, because the Bible says my flesh is not willing. Flesh don't want to die to fleshly desires. That's why we let the spirit grow so it overtakes the flesh. That's the point of reading and praying and spending time and coming to church, is so the spirit takes over our flesh. Amen. And then we become willing. Amen. Then we become willing. When his spirit comes upon us in a situation and he starts taking over that, and then we get into his presence, and then we start changing from glory to glory, and all of a sudden I wanted to go to prayer. All of a sudden I didn't want that cigarette. All of a sudden I wanted to give that money and my house and everything else. All of a sudden. So what happened? Spirit took over flesh in that area and made my flesh willing, because I couldn't make it willing. I couldn't make myself be a giver. I couldn't make myself not be greedy. I couldn't make myself not have a miser spirit. That's the way I was raised. So it was instilled into me to hold on to what I had and not think that anything else was coming in. And it was real hard to get that breakthrough that if I give it, then I'm going to get more. It took me a long time to get that. But once I got it, I gave God all or anything and that he wants. And there's other areas in my life that is working right now, and he's making me willing. He's doing it because maybe I'm struggling a little in that area. But God, I want to be willing. I like Josh said and Julie said, I don't know if I'm willing, but I want to be willing. You can even pray to want to be willing. Maybe you're not even, don't even want to be willing because you want your own way. But you can say, God, I'm not willing to give in this area with my spouse. I'm not willing to give this job or that up to do what you're calling me to do. But I'm asking you to make me willing. I'm asking you to give me a willing heart today, God. I'm opening up my spirit and asking the spirit man to come and take over this heart and take out the heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh and give me a heart that wants to cry out to a holy God, because he said, be ye holy as I am holy. And I can't be holy till I spend time with the one that's holy, till the Holy One comes upon me and he makes me willing. He makes me willing not to leave my wife. He makes me willing not to leave my husband. He makes me willing to pay the price for the city of Crossit. Like Jonah didn't even care about Nineveh, but God made him willing. He said, you go back and you tell them that they're going to die if they don't repent. So God made Jonah willing. He didn't have a willing heart. till he went in that well. And I don't want to go in the well, as Brother Allen said. He said, I've been there a few times, and I don't want to go back in the well. So God, give us a willing heart. Thank you, Jesus. Give us a willing heart. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 24. I want you to turn there this morning and start with verse 1. We're going to go on a journey through this chapter. And I want to point out some points in here that helped me. And God, I give you praise for it. Thank you for it. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So we see Abraham was blessed in all things. He was just getting old. So he's wanting to know what to do with these blessings. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that had been serving him, he told him what to do with his blessings. He said, the one that ruled over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me. Put that in your spirit. Peradventure the woman's not willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring your son again unto the land from which you came? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son again. If the woman's not willing, don't bring my son back. Because verse 7 says, he says, God's given us a word. Verse 7 is the word. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send an angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. He's saying, God spoke. He said for me to tell you to go out and get my son a wife that's not amongst the heathens. I don't want my son or my daughter married from the heathens, because then they're going to have a battle the rest of their life until they get saved, and then it's still going to be hard on them. So Abraham said, look, I've got all these blessings, I've got all this money, but I know I'm fixing to go. But I don't want no division in my blessings now. I want my servant to go out, and I'm going to trust this servant with everything that I have to pick the right one. And the servant starts fearing, what if I can't do that? What if they're not willing? What if someone's not willing to pay the price? What if God called you to a ministry or to be a pastor or to be a leader or a praise leader and people's not willing? He said, wait a minute. But the Lord spoke. He said, the angel of the Lord's going to go before you, and he's going to help you do that. He's going to bring that daughter. He's going to do it. So don't even look at that. What if they're not willing? Just say that it's going to happen, because verse 7 says it's going to happen, because God already gave the word. God already spoke and said what he was going to do. Hallelujah. So he had his word from God. In verse 8 says, and if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then I shall be clear from this oath, only bring me not my son again. And the servant put his hand under his thigh, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master was in his hand. And he made the camels kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, in the time that the women go out to draw water. So this servant took that word, not knowing. Now he's got a call on him. He's got a call from his master. And he had a word from God. And he goes out into this land that he's probably not familiar with. And he's believing that God's going to help him, and that angel's going to help him bring this to pass, even if somebody's not willing. Amen? Amen. So, verse 12 says, he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher. Somebody say, my pitcher.
My pitcher.
Do my call.
My call.
Be willing to put down my pitcher.
Yeah.
Not make him, make her do it, give it to him for him to fill it up. The damsel, he said, the one that's going to let down their pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. Not only willing to give me water, not only willing to go, and it took 200 gallons of water to feed him and his camels. And he said, I want a woman. I've got the word from God, so I want a woman that's going to be willing to not make me ask. I want a woman that's not going to make me beg. I want a woman, if you're looking for a woman today, see if she's going to open the door, unlock the door for you when you get in the car. I heard that one time. If you're on a date and you're looking for a woman, and you go over there and you open the door for her, then you get on the other side, and she don't reach over to help you, he said, leave that woman alone. Because all she wants is you to wait on her. Well, this servant was looking for a woman that was going to be after God's own heart, that was willing, that had a willing heart to give him water to drink. And he didn't have to beg for help. He didn't have to beg for someone to do what they're called to do. He didn't have to beg for someone to use their pitcher. He didn't have to beg for somebody to fill their own pitcher up. He didn't have to beg for someone to fill their own pitcher up. He said, I'm going to go by the well of water. And she's going to put her pitcher off her shoulder. And she's going to fill it up herself. And she's going to be willing to get what she needs from God. So she don't have to be getting everything from me. That's the kind of woman I want, a willing vessel. That's the kind of person I want, God says. Somebody that's going to put their pitcher down, and they're going to lay down on the altar, and they're going to say, I know the well of water is here, and I'm going to cry out till your spirit comes upon me. Then I'm going to take this water, and I'm going to give it to somebody else to drink. I'm going to give somebody else something today. I'm out here for helping you. I'm helping you, and I'm going to help your children and your grandchildren. That's the kind of woman you want. Amen. That's the kind of servant you want. That's the kind of people you want in your church. He said, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men come out to draw the water. And let it come to pass that the damsel whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. She shall say, drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Everything he did was for Abraham. Everything this servant did was for his master. Amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that Rebecca came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Before he got through speaking, she was willing. Now, she don't know this man.
That's right.
This man's coming up with all these camels, and he's asking God this request because he wanted Isaac to have a willing heart, a spouse, willing wife. And she sees them coming, and she does it on her own. Before he could even get it all out, she's giving him a drink. And she says, before he done speaking, she had her pitcher on her shoulder in verse 16. And the damsel was very fair. Wasn't like she's ugly. Wasn't like she didn't have anything to give. Wasn't like she had to be willing. She was a virgin, and she was beautiful. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her. and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water." And she said, "Drink, my Lord." Now he's a servant and she's calling him Lord. There's another sign of a willing heart. He's a servant and she's calling him Lord. She said, "Drink, my Lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also." She did everything that the man of God requested in his heart to the Lord. And he could see that this was a willing vessel. He could see. And when you, if you ever start pastoring, you ever start leading, Casey, Michelle, you need people to help you. Look for those that's hasting. Look for those that are willing. Look for those that are going after you, saying, "Lord, what can I do, Brother Casey? Sister Michelle, what can I do? Can I have your batteries ready? Can I have you some water? Here's your pitcher of water." Look for those, because you got a willing heart. You got somebody that's not out for just their self, that's not going to push it just when they're up here. You got somebody that'll pray all the time, not just when they're preaching. Yeah. Amen? You got a willing heart. Don't even start with those that's unwilling. Don't let manipulation come in. I was on the altar yesterday, and Julie come up, and a couple people just came in to help me pray. And I said, "God, I was thinking about things at home, thinking about things in the ministry. I said, God, why do I keep being manipulated? Just say it's at home. Why do I keep letting that happen?" And God showed me that because we think people mean, like, they'll do what they're supposed to do, and they'll do it two or three times, and then all of a sudden they just don't want to pray today. So if they had a responsibility, there wouldn't be any anointing. But they knew that someone else would come do it for them. Right. Well, that puts them in control. That puts them in control. And it makes, and then they get mad if you don't allow that.
Amen.
They get mad if you confront that.
Right.
He said that's manipulation. And the reason it never stops in our lives, just say if you got a husband that's hitting you today, If you're wondering, why do I put up with it? Why do I let them? Because they act like they're willing to stop. They act like they want to do better. They act like that this isn't going to happen again. And I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to try not to do it tomorrow. And so you go eat a steak together, and then you eat spaghetti. Then the fourth night, they knock you up against the wall. And then you say, "God, why did I let that happen again? Why did I let it happen again?" And what I see with manipulating spirits like that is they're not willing. If they wanted to quit, they'd find out how to quit.
Amen.
If they wanted to stop hitting you, they'd go somewhere and get some help.
Yeah.
If they wanted to be anointed, they'd do it every time. If they wanted to pay the price, they'd pay it every time. They'd be in season and out of season. They wouldn't control your emotions by doing it when they wanted to. They wouldn't be the servant for you, the willing one for you, when they wanted to. But if they can do that to you, then they're in control of you. Then they have you beat down. They have you in a corner. They have you not caring what you look like no more, because you know something's not right. You know you're emotionally controlled. You know that they're pulling you into that one more time, but you hope they mean it this time. They don't mean it this time. They mean it when they repent. They mean it when they get on their face and cry out and say, "This is what I've done. I manipulated. And when I wanted to bring the presence, I brought it. When I wanted to quit hitting you, I quit hitting you." That's when they mean it. That's when they're willing. Did y'all get that? See, when someone's controlling our emotions, we think they're going to do better. And because we have willing hearts to make it work, we think they want to make it work. Because they say, I've even had through the years, "I want to fast. I want my destiny." Well, as soon as they get that back, they don't pray no more. They're not willing. That's not willing. It's not willing. It's manipulation to get back what I want. That's what that is. But I want to talk to you today. If you're getting manipulated at home, you're getting manipulated by that woman or that man in your money. If they don't give you any money and you're married and you got to beg for a cup of coffee, you're being manipulated because you're sleeping with them. Don't sleep with them. Somebody said, I don't have nothing to eat when I get off work. I ain't got nothing to wear. I ain't got no clean socks. I said, quit giving them money. Quit giving that wife money if you don't got nothing to eat. Quit giving them some clean clothes if you working 50 hours a week and there ain't nothing on the table when you get off at night. Why they need money for? Give them money when they show some interest, some willingness to change. Amen?
Amen.
And if that man's hitting you, don't get in the bed with him. You say, well, he'll leave me. Well, you won't get hit by him no more. Hey, that's when you do call Uncle Sam and get some government help. That's when you need some help. Because I'd rather you be getting it from the government than getting it from that man that's going to knock you up against the wall next week because you didn't cook something right. Because you didn't do something that they wanted you to do. So they couldn't control your emotions. So they couldn't make you think they sorry. No, they're not sorry till they quit and they start trying to find some help. That's when they sorry. They sorry when they try to find some help. They sorry when they try to find some help. So if you're at the point in your marriage and you know if you confront this, they're leaving. You know, because there's some things in jobs, in ministry, in homes, it gets there. You confronted, they manipulated, got back in. You confronted, they manipulated, got back in. And they wonder why you're mad. Wondering why righteous indignation rises up. Because we know you're manipulating us.
Right.
We might not know that's the word. We might not know that they're not willing, though. And that's what God showed me pulling down this stronghold. He told me last Sunday morning, I was praying about something. And then I was trying to teach somebody. And they just got out as fast as they could. And I wasn't even mentioning their name. And God told me, he said, that's unwilling. That's unwilling. If we don't have a teachable spirit, then we're not willing to learn. We're not. Don't let that man tell you he wants to learn if he don't have a willing spirit to hear what you even want for him to do. I'm hitting it, and I can feel, you know, I can feel. Don't let him tell you he wants to change when he won't even listen to what he needs to change about. When he'll say, oh, you say that every time. When he turns it on you and all you want to say is, honey, it's 35 degrees in here and I'm freezing. And I've been telling you for years that it's cold in this house. Can we just turn it up to 40? Well, all you want to do is gripe. Well, they're turning it on you because they're not willing. They don't want change. Why would they want to change? They get everything they want. Why would ministry people want to change if someone's going to do it for them? If today they don't want to pray, oh, they got it made then. Then they can look like a martyr in front of everybody. Because, oh, you know, I just poor pitiful person. No, you did it the other day. That's manipulation. All right, where was I at? Thank you, Jesus. I just want to expose that in the homes, especially today, that you don't have to live in abuse. Hey, I got somebody right now that calls me in this ministry and says, is there anybody that needs a place to live? And I say, God, do you want us to use that house for the broken and the destitute and the women and the men, or women, because this is a woman, to help them in between times, Lord? And if he wants us to do that, I'm willing to help pay their rent because they're willing to open their home up to help somebody. So you don't, when I say you don't have to live in it, I'm here to show you a way out of it. I ain't just saying words. I remember when somebody was hitting somebody and mama took some money over here, she said, I'd get them out right now. Maybe that's not the kind of pastors y'all used to, but we'll get you out right now. I put my money where my mouth is. You can see me at 12:05 and we can talk about it. God, we just thank you for it. I thank you that we don't have to get our jaws slammed anymore. When I was in the world, somebody told me one time after they knocked me up against the windshield and cracked the windshield, never hit me before. But all of a sudden that rage, see, you dating somebody think they all lovely because they bringing you some gifts. Well, what kind of gift they bringing you? Because he was bringing me lingerie. It really wasn't for me, in other words.
That's right.
What kind of gifts are they buying you? Anyway, after about 6 to 8 months, that real thing's going to come out of them, you know.
Right.
So we're leaving the ball game, and all of a sudden he hits me with his elbow. Now I'm going to get real today, and knocks me up against the windshield, and the windshield cracks. And he said, you missed that ball on first base, and we lost that game, and it's your fault. And so I'm in shock, you know, because here I was sheltered in the church from 15 to 22 and thinking I want my own way, thinking I don't want to be willing to go after God and go out there and make my own way. And my first experience in that was somebody knocking me up against the windshield and then hanging the door open in my vehicle and punching it to the floor and all the way to 130, down 133, hitting me in the back and half my body's out of the vehicle. And they're just hitting me in the back like this, hitting me in the back like this. Well, they had me under that little bit of control for a minute, but I'd seen my mother in that stuff with my daddy, my real daddy. She lived in it 10 years. And so I knew they didn't quit. I knew they didn't quit. The only way they're going to quit if Jesus Christ comes on the inside of them and they get some help.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say they can't never try to quit in the world, but I'm just saying that most of the time they don't ever quit. Anybody seen them quit without God?
No.
So he's slamming me in the back and burning up my motor and my vehicle and all that stuff. And anyway, so I was through, you know. Well, one more time, because he got back in. How many say they get back in? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I love you. I love you. Let me get some more tears. I love you. You know I'm behind on my Corvette. You want to go borrow me $1,000? I love you. And here I am with 3 children and working, making $6.50 an hour. You want to get me $1,000 for my vehicle? I love you. One time it worked. Not the money, though. Remember, I was greedy. Not the money. One time, though. One time I believed that lie. So, you know, here we are back in relationship. And then something else happened. I go home from my lunch hour and just fits and walk out the door, and he throws something across the room, hits me in the back. And we're not even fighting. Gets my keys and throws them. See, you can't control that control. You can't control it by being good enough. You can't control it by being pretty enough. You can't control that. So you have to get out of it if they're not willing. Somebody say willing.
Willing.
To get some help. And if you're doing that to your wife, we can help you too. So we're not trying to throw you away. You're a soul, and we can help you too. Amen?
Amen.
But it didn't take it that second time. And something rose up in me. I guess I always had that righteous indignation. And I'm like, wait a minute. My mama lived like that, and I knew better. And I knew he wasn't going to quit. So I had to break it, you know? And when you feel that emotional control, you think you're doing wrong when they're begging you.
Yeah.
When they're pleading, you think it's your fault they hit you. Apparently, I did something wrong. Hamburger Helper was cold. I did something wrong to deserve to be hit today. But if they don't try to get change, they're not willing. Somebody say, if I don't try to get any help, I'm not willing. If I don't want to hear, I'm not willing. I have an unwilling, an unteachable heart, and I need to get some help. Amen?
Yeah.
God, we just give you praise for it. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for words of wisdom today, God, that we don't have to live like that. And if you're here today and you're living like that, you just come on. Just come on now. Give you praise for it, Lord. I know it might be embarrassing. It's okay. We all get up and tell our stuff. We get up and tell our stuff. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Give you praise. God, we just come against that abuse from that unwillingness to change, Lord. We pull it down. We pull the unwillingness to get out of that situation down. You break your power and come out. In the name of Jesus, I command you to loose your heart.